Going to talk to you about staying in the light, staying in the light. I'm going to begin reading at 1 John 1, the Epistle to 1 John, because we're starting this new series, Love, Light, and Plus Life, and kind of a study on the first Epistle of John. God wants us to really get grounded in these three powerful concepts identified in this epistle. So 1 John 1, verse 1 through 10, we're going to read the whole chapter and then read over into chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Hallelujah. So we're talking about staying in the light today. So that which is from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Now, he's not talking about socializing, as most people water down fellowship to mean. Now, understand what fellowship would mean. We talked about on Wednesday night when we studied Philippians. But it's really partnership, but it's also partnership spiritually. It is the sharing of your heart, your spirit. He said you have fellowship with us. Now, he's not talking about fellowship with John and the brethren and sisters, because some people just relegate fellowship with just individuals. But you must realize this point of reference about fellowship. Fellowship must be about around the word and around of the Spirit of God. Because he says, he keeps going on. And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father and what? With his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. So he's telling us, if you have fellowship, koinonia is the Greek word, mutual sharing of spirit to spirit. So if you look at this illustration here, I'm using my hands, you are spirit to spirit firm. There is a solid connectivity between you, the Father God, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I am spirit to spirit firm with the Father God and the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in fellowship with him, that's what it means. You're connected solidly with the Father. So you're not cloudy, confused, unclear about what the Lord wants you to do. Because you're right there. You're right there connected, vitally connected. All right? And then with that tether or that connectivity, so to speak, there is an outflow of the presence and power of God. There's a constant flow. And we know in his presence, Psalms tells us, there is fullness of joy. So that's the context of which John is writing this. And then this is the message which you heard in the clever, that God is light. Now he begins to remind us that God is light. Now we know God is love. We're going to see that later. But he's saying God is light. Now, one of the words that describe the glory of God in the Greek is the word doxa, which means brightness, light giving. And of course, that's the word for glory. And the power of God is referenced to the light. Do a study on light. If you run a reference and look at Einstein's theory of relativity, and when he was studying light, the components and contents of light, he could only describe it in the context of time. That means you break the time barrier, because that's what we use the term speed of light. And so when he's talking about the speed of light, he's talking about breaking that time barrier and penetrating into eternity. That's all he can call it, where there's no time limitation. Now, this is going to be very important to you as we go forth and we talk about this. So in him is no darkness at all. That's the direct opposite of light. No darkness at all. That's powerful. If we say we have fellowship, if we say we're spirit to spirit form, we have solid connectivity from our spirit to the master spirit, our Father God and the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, fellowship with him and walk in darkness, or we live in areas of darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Again, this is with God the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So he begins to introduce what breaks fellowship. And sin breaks fellowship. Not necessarily relationship, but it breaks fellowship. That spirit-to-spirit firmness, that solid spiritual connectivity, sin breaks it. That's why people who can be Christian believers, born again, Christ follows, even spirit-filled, could be walking around half full of joy or even sad and mad. Because they think that they're walking in the light, but they're walking in darkness. They're disconnected from the light. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, so he's teaching us how to get rid of it. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, so he's beginning to give us a small, a short, fast reminder of the sin thing we have to deal with. And have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now let's skip to chapter 2. Keep going. 1 John 2, 1 through 10. My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. So that you may not sin. So God doesn't want us to sin. So we're going to talk a little bit about what is sin a little bit. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is him, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, these are strong, direct languages, right? Verse 5, but whosoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. In him, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now that's a powerful scripture if you want to highlight, underline it, just as chapter 1, verse 7 is. He who says who he abides in him, you ought to be walking like Jesus. Jesus lived in constant fellowship with the Father. He never had broken fellowship with the Father until he became sin for us, and sin separated him from God when he said on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You forsaken me. And so we know because he was becoming our sacrifice and our substitute at that point. Amen. Everybody with me so far? All right, so let's go to verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment you have from the beginning, the old commandment, which is the word you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness, now he goes back and sums it up a little bit, is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides what? In the light. And there's no cause for stumbling in him or going into sin or getting offended, all those kinds of things. So we're going to be talking about staying in the light. Amen. Everybody say it with me, staying in the light. So I would suggest a couple of phrases that come to mind as the Apostle John is writing this letter by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And first phrase is get back to the basics of walking with Jesus. We used to sing that song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I know I can't sing it real good, but anyway. But are you walking and talking with him? Are you having conversations with the Lord? on a consistent, regular basis, continual basis. Second message I want to believe John is saying to us is keep it simple. I believe John, by the Holy Spirit, says to us, let's make it simple. We said last series, one of the key phrases we used last series, last month, several weeks we taught on that, which was, if the devil can't make you bad, he makes you busy. And what I see is the devil carrying out the busy assignment in all the believers. We're running out of time. And sometimes we cut off spending time with the Lord, cut off spending time in the Word. We cut off ensuring that we're in constant fellowship, spirit to spirit firm, have that solid connectivity with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father God. And that's when we get things complicated. We don't make it simple. Walk with Jesus, cling to your faith, stay in the light. Walk with Jesus, cling to your faith, stay in the light. When you sin, confess and move on and show your love for Jesus by loving your brothers and sisters in his name and by the God kind of unconditional, unlimited, and unfailing love. See, in John's day as well as today, the tendency is to get involved in the complexities of personal activities. Everybody's busy. I mean, you probably think about the next thing you have to attend, next shuttle of kids, grandkids you got to take, you know, the next birthday event, the next party you got to attend, the next function you got to attend, you know, all that thing. Personal activities can clog up your calendar. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah. Then you got church responsibilities, Bible reading programs, spiritual gifts that you got to attend to and inventory, the books and that offer seven keys to this and 10 steps for that. Unfortunately, too much attention to these good things may prevent us from focusing on what really matters, which is the main thing, Jesus Christ. Amen. So if the devil can't make you mad, he makes you what? Busy. Bad, he makes you busy. Now, I want to say to you one more phrase as we get into this series. The devil's job is to do three. This is a quote from Bishop Dale C. Bronner. He said, the devil tries to do two things. He tries to pollute you or dilute you. So that polluting means he makes you bad. He poisons you with the contamination of the world and sin and darkness. And then he dilutes you by watering down your relationship with Jesus to just a church-going activity. There's no real connectivity or conversation or communion between you and the Lord between coming to church. We're so diluted, we're busy reading about the Lord. And we're not fellowshipping with the Lord. Amen. Because you wouldn't be diluted with all the busyness, all the distractions, all the duties and details of life to where you don't have the life, the light, and the love of God flowing through you. Are you listening to me? Look at Psalms 46:10. I think it's there in your handout. Be still. Everybody say, be still. Be still. Turn to someone next to you and smile real good and say, you know, sometimes you got to be still. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Many people know about God, but do not know God. So if we gave you 60 seconds to describe your relationship with God, what would be said? If you could have to give a news report of your last conversation with Jesus, what would it be? Amen. See, people know about God. So, it's good. It's good. It's exciting to see many of us participate in Bible reading, devotionals, and things like that. But the end goal is to know the author. Not know about the author, but know the author. Know the Lord. So if Ken's 5 and KSAT 12 came and said, "Sister, brother, give us your last meeting with Jesus," what would he say to you? Would you draw a blank? Would you draw a stare? Now, still just means to cease or abate in the Hebrew. Or as Aaron Rodgers says, if you don't know who Aaron Rodgers, he's a quarterback for Green Bay Packers. When everybody was getting upset about their season, he turned around to the news. This is a couple years ago. He said, "Relax." It just means relax. Some of y'all remember that statement. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother. All right. So Psalms 4:4 says it this way: "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate on your heart, and what? Be still." Now remember, the enemy tries to do what? Pollute you? Dilute you? Make you bad? Or make you busy? Both are not good. If he can't get you one way, he gets you the other. Now let's look at someone who couldn't be still. And she had probably gifts and talents and abilities, and she loved God. There's no indication that she hated God. But look at Luke 10:38. I'm going to read it out here. Are we able to get the Bible? No. Okay. "Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Talking about Jesus. He visits Mary and Martha. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, does not you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid me therefore that she help me. Tell her to help me. I got all this stuff I got to do.'" Now, how many know that's important? Jesus knew she had to feed and she had duties to perform. But what's our first duty in the morning? Our devotion to him. Are your feet hitting the floor and you running around with your to-do list instead of his to-do list? How still are you? But he said, "But this one thing is needful," or required, that word needful, "that Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." She was still. Now let's look at another scripture this way, reference to light. Psalms 119, verse 30. I think you have it in your handout there. "The entrance of your words give light." Everybody say light. Light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, I used to look at it this way, to the simple-minded or the foolish. But that's not what it means. Simple just simply means, in the Hebrew, simplicity. That means when we look at the word, when the word enters into us, we get light. And things become clear and uncomplicated. In the hustle and bustle life. In other words, it means an open mind. That means the word can open you up to a easier way, a more time-effective way, or a more peaceful way, shortcut to getting things done that you need to get done. Because sometimes, here's a rub. Sometimes we think that I got so much to do, I don't have the time to read that book, Pastor. I don't have time for this little training online. I don't have time to serve the Lord. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read through the New Testament. But he's saying what? The interest of your words give what? See, the opposite of simplicity or simple is complexity or complex or complicated. The entrance of the word is key. I can recall incident after incident after incident. When I got still, when my mind was relaxed and open, that's when the Lord walked in and began talking and referencing his word. I mean, he opened up scripture to me. And the Holy Spirit would convey scripture. And I had to go back and look at it. I said, does it really say that? Yes, it does. The entrance of his word gives light. Now, we said light references the glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God. That's how we are transformed. Colossians tells us we are transformed into his image. I mean, 1 Corinthians 3:18, into his image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. How can you be changed? How can you do things more efficiently and effectively? How can you redeem that time? Allow the word to enter into your heart and into your life. Let the Lord give you light, and he'll give you a shortcut on how to get things done. I remember time after time when I would spend that required quality time with the Lord, that he wanted to give me light about my agenda for that day or what I had to do. When I got focused on him and his word, he made all that come to pass in sweatless amounts of time. Amen. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17. It says, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Now notice he prefaced it with two statements, but let's keep reading. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. Redeeming the time. That's an expectation for us. Because what? The days are evil. In other words, that means you buy back or seize the opportunities. That means you get Holy Ghost shortcuts. Because a lot of times people are pressed in prayer because they say, well, I got so much to do. I don't have time to pray. I'm just going to pray intermittently along the way. But you're not still. Amen. So, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the Lord wants you to do or what the will of the Lord is. All right? So circumspectly, we see it there, accurately, wisely, and purposely. So we're going to be accurate. That means you don't want to squander time or waste time. I mean, no, you can squander time. You can end up squandering time just looking down at your phone. Yes. Scrolling and swiping and checking and clicking. Next thing you know, you've squandered an hour. And then you find out that I'm behind time. Amen. But he says this, if I awake from my spiritual sleep, that's what he means. He's not talking about just taking a nap physically. But awake from your spiritual sleep, arise from the dead. Now, death, darkness are synonymous. That means I got to get out. Arise just simply means change my posture and position. Because darkness will breed dullness of perception, will mean things get dim. That means they're not clear. And you walking in a dark house, if you're unfamiliar with it, you stub your toe. You get hurt. I mean, even our own house sometimes, if it's so pitch black dark, unless you can feel a way around, sometimes you get in your eyes, you know, situated where you can make it to the bathroom without running to the wall. Amen. He said, if I awake from my spiritual sleep, arise from the dead, then I will receive light from Christ. Again, we need this light. If things are going to be uncomplicated in our lives, we need light. If you want full clarity and stay in full joy, you need to stay in the light. Are you listening to me? So if I get with the Lord and stay in the light, time will get, as going back to Einstein's theory of relativity, he says, you know, when I saw in past the light line or the timeline, I saw time got elongated and dilated. So in other words, he said, I have more time because wisdom says he'll lengthen your days. What does that mean? That means your days become long enough, you manage time well enough to get everything done within time. And then it's dilated so you can focus on the main things and you don't get distracted and break focus on other things. So time will get elongated and dilated. Light is important for those whose lives want to be lived uncomplicated, and those who give interest to the light. In other words, uncomplicated, unconfused, unclear Christians stay in light because they stay in connectivity and in firm spirit to spirit firmness with the Lord. And so they're always clear about what I'm supposed to be doing. They don't utter the words, I'm bored. Amen. Or their mind doesn't go wander off. And next thing you know, you've watched 3 or 4 hours of binge TV and you figure, where's the time gone? Everybody say, stay in the light. So get in the light, stay in the light. Now, what can stop the interest of the word? Our negative or improper emotions or unrenewed mind, wrong thinking, can block or filter out light. That's why people can even come to church and sit and hear the word, but the word doesn't enter in. He said the entrance of his word gives light. The entrance of his word gives light. So your mind can be unrenewed. You have the wrong thinking about certain areas, and you won't allow the Lord, the word of the Lord, to give you light on that subject. Because you go along with the same old stale thoughts that I don't have enough time to get all the stuff I got to get done. Your words are hinged upon your word because, remember, wrong thinking equals wrong believing, which equals wrong speaking. So you say, I don't have time to get that done. And what happens? You throw off the Lord's agenda because you're trying to protect and perform in your own agenda. I got so much to do with this responsibility, this obligation, this requirement, this, and then the Lord gets shoved out. But that's the trick of the enemy to dilute you. And said, I got so much stuff to do, and your wrong thinking is, I can't even redeem the time. I don't have time. But the Lord said, get light on it. Because that's when I'll give you a shortcut where you can redeem time, where you can do what I want you to do, and then I'll help you get done what you need to do. Well, I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. So our negative emotions, where you're mad because you got so much stuff to do and you're all frustrated and everybody's calling you for this and that, you know, one thing you do is say no. That's what some people need to learn. But then the other piece is if you got to have a renewed mind and renewed emotions. Amen. Amen. It will filter out light. You don't want it to do that. So our effectiveness, friends, as born-again Christian believers and Christ followers, comes from getting in the light and staying there. Our effectiveness going forward is getting in the light and staying there. Now, let's go back and read 1 John 1:6-7. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice what? Truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And in the Amplified, it says it this way: but if we are really living and walking in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship. What do we say breaks fellowship? Sin. With one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us or removes us from all sin. And guilt keeps us cleansed from all sin and it, all its forms and manifestations. So simply said, sin complicates, light simplifies and clarifies. Sin complicates, but light simplifies and clarifies. And again, what is sin? Well, let's go to Romans. And we may have to pick up part of this for next week. I want to make sure you get it. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Now, this is talking about walking in love towards your brothers in the context of what you do. Now, everybody's free in this room. But our love obligation is a debt we owe to everybody. Owe no man anything, Romans 13, 8, but to love him. Now, love is not a noun. It's a verb. It's an action word. So what do we owe everybody in this room and everybody in this church? To love them. Everybody said love them. Now, that includes any new people that come or whatever. Now, he goes on to say this. Romans 14. Okay, wrong chapter here. Let me get the right chapter. Okay. Give me a second. It is good neither to eat flesh or drink wine or anything whereby a brother, it is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. So in other words, our relationship should constrain our behavior with our brothers and sisters, should constrain our brothers and sisters to say, I'm not going to do anything that causes them to stumble, offend them, or make them weak spiritually. Amen. Amen. That means that's our preventive and proactive behavior of love in a social context. I'm out eating with somebody who doesn't believe in pork, eating pork yet. I don't order a pork loin sandwich and pork chops and eat it right in front of their face. If they're a new believer, they may have just came out of a certain religion or something that doesn't believe in pork. And so he's got to get his mind renewed. So I'm not going to say, well, I'm free, brother. Let me just have that with bacon. Yeah, you get the right to do what you want to do, but you should be considerate of others. Is this going to cause them to stumble? Is this going to cause them to be weak? Is this going to cause them to be offended? Sometimes we don't think that way. We just think I can do what I want. It's my house. It's my money I'm spending on the restaurant. It's my life. The problem is it's my. Amen. My and I problem. That's not love. Look at verse 22. Hast thou not faith? Have it for thyself and to God. Happy is him one that condemneth not himself in the things which he allows. But he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not in faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So take it in context. He's talking about loving, love walk. So every step out of love is sin. And faith works by love and through love. And sin is fear-based or fear-dependent. So this motivation, this motive is selfishness, self-serving, for fear it will miss out or be left out. Well, I'm going to have this dish. I'm going to hog up two helpings and eat like I'm out of control and somebody else is on a restricted diet. You got to be tailoring yourself to be a blessing, to be a benefit to others. Don't just go in and say, well, you shouldn't do that, or you can eat this. It's okay to me to eat a whole pie. No, don't offend others. Are y'all seeing this? See, it's me-mindedness and not we-mindedness. It doesn't have compassion, care, or show a Christ-honoring commitment to others. You basically saying, I'm committed to myself. I do what I want to. I'm grown. I pay my own bills. Make my own money. Well, you're going to be walking in some darkness. See, it doesn't care that it offends or weakens others. That is not faith, that's flesh. Let's turn to James. Turn to James. I knew I'm not going to get many shouts, many hollers about this, but this is important. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. So this is... The other one was selfishness. The other one's kind of snobbery. I'm better than you because you're different than me. It shows distinctions or partiality. So for if they're coming to your assembly, a man with a gold ring and a goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him who weareth gay clothing, and say to him, sit here in the good place, and say to the poor, stand now there or sit under my footstool. In other words, you treat people differently. One's got money and the other one doesn't. He's using an illustration here. He said, are you then not partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brother beloved, how hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? But if you despise the poor, you have despised the poor, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which you are all called? If you fulfill the royal law to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit what? Sin. So what is sin? Personal favoritism. Showing partiality. Being prejudiced or discriminatory. Discrimination. It's sin. Now, one of the things we have to protect against is all the social issues of the day can't get into your spirit. That's why we want you to read, for preventive and proactive reasons, that book, A House Not Divided. Because usually what's in the community tries to get into church. Why? Because the enemy wants to do what? Pollute you or dilute you. And if you watch all the poisonous news that always talk about division, always talking about political strife and discord and all these disagreements and stuff between the president's administration and the Democrats and Republicans and all this stuff. If you get caught up in that, you'll get polluted. And it's going to cause you to believe and behave that way, where you begin to separate and segregate people based on color, class, creed, culture, and category they're in, and classification they're in. Are you listening to me? And then you find yourself saying stuff like black people, Hispanic people, white people, when the scripture says, in Christ, male nor female, bond or free, amen, Jew or Gentile, any color, any culture, doesn't avail anything. That doesn't mean you're better than anybody in Christ. He said, but a new creature. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we get to talking color lines and categories and talk about different ages, stages, and generations, and we start to bring a slight of favoritism. See, because remember, prejudice and discrimination is not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. Are you listening to me? That's what racism is. It's sin. And we get caught up in the social context of racism, and we don't stay in the spiritual context of racism. Racism is the spirit of division. And we have to defeat it. And you have to defeat it in your own house. Because you get that us versus them. Black versus white. Hispanic versus white. Whatever. And you show partiality. Is that good? Everybody good? Hallelujah. Now look at 1 John. We'll cover a couple more here. 1 John 5:17. So you got to watch how you treat people. You think somebody can give you something, you should treat them the same if they can't give you a dime. You should treat people the same if they can give you $1 million or no dollars. You brown nose and butter up to the rich folks and the people with important titles. You didn't let prejudice and favoritism get in your spirit. You politicking around people you think can push you up or pull you forward. And you treat the other people like they're twos instead of tens. Well, praise the Lord. Preach it, Pastor. You were doing real good today. Yes. Why? Because the Lord wants you to walk in the light and stay in the light. Amen. Some of y'all get to fussing at the news because they're calling out social issues or police versus the certain classes of people. And, oh, we got a problem with that. And you get all stirred up. What are you doing? You're letting that spirit get in you. And it's pulling you out of light into darkness. Hallelujah. 1 John 5:17 says, all unrighteousness and sin. And there is a sin that leadeth. So in other words, you know, anything not right with God should not be right for you. I don't care how many people and how popular that subject matter is. When they say, you know, even in the Martin Luther King parade, you know, thank God for what Martin Luther King did. But some people are polluting it and saying that he include love and acceptance for everybody in a sense of whatever gender or sexual orientation you are. And that's not the truth of the Bible. That's polluted. Now, we love the person, but we hate the sin. Amen. And so we got to preach what God preached. God's against lesbianism. God's against homosexuality. Amen. God's not for transgender stuff. God's not for living together. Well, praise the Lord. God's not for sex outside of marriage. See, the Lord has spoken very clearly in Galatians 5 about the sexual sins, spiritual sins, and social sins that are sin. And sin does what? It breaks fellowship. That means you go get severed from the light. You don't stay in the light. You go back to darkness. Amen. And then you lose your joy, and everything's become dark, dull, disturbing, and complicated. And you always trying, I can't hear from God. I don't know what God's saying to me. Things are not clear. I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Get in the light. Amen. Get in the light and stay in the light. Now, last one, James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So in other words, sin is a violation of light. Now, everybody in here has been given light. When you started as a believer in Christ, as born-again believer, baby, Christian, God gave you light to walk in. That's why he told us, walk in the light as he is in the light. In other words, once you get light on it, you have the glory to transform you because of it, and the power of God to remove you from that thing that will tend to pull you back into darkness. Now, it can be as simple as, like what Brother Hagin says, and it applies to everybody. When he first got born again, he was still in the bed, sick, and he's read the Bible. He promised the Lord, he said, everything I read in the Bible from this time on, he said, I'm going to start with the New Testament because I'm sick, and I don't know if I'm going to make it that long at the point. He said, but I'm going to start at the New Testament because that's what we're in. And so he said, everything I read, I'm going to apply. Well, how many know that applies to all of us? Every light that we receive, we're responsible to walk in it. So if you walk out of the church and say, well, the Lord told me to do this, and you start talking about 3 months, 3 years ago, you're not staying in the light. You're going to drift back into darkness. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. And partial obedience is complete disobedience. So in other words, we want to be walking in the light. So everyone, you come to get light. Why? When your mind renewed and with your emotions right, you say, Lord, I want to receive light about this situation I'm dealing with. Amen. How can I deal with it more efficiently and effectively? It's a light problem. Because the spirit realm always overrides, overruns, and oversees the natural realm. In other words, you can get answers sitting right here in this room. Light will come. But it's when the entrance of his word comes that brings or gives light. Amen. And it gives understanding, not to the foolish, not to the simple-minded, but simple. It makes it simple. You say, oh yeah, that's it. Revelation comes. That's how I get that situation resolved. And you walk in the light. Somebody say, glory to God. Now, there's three things that will keep us from experiencing, and I'm going to close here in 5 minutes, experiencing the full joy and benefits of our life in Christ. Number one, when we deny the power of sin. Because if we're saying we walk in light, but we actually walk in darkness, we lie. We're lying. The power of sin breaks the light. If you're unclear and things are complicated, you're confused, no light. Because there's no defects in your spirit. Amen. There's no spiritual birth defects. That's right. Your spirit can function normally because you are engrafted in Christ. Amen? Amen? And so when you deny the presence of sin, means that you are around it and you've slipped into it a little bit. Or you deny the practice of sin. You say, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, you're hating on your brother. Every step out of love is sin. Now, when you talk about somebody, you malign somebody, you ostracize somebody, you criticize somebody, you stepped out of love. Because you contribute to their downfall and not their buildup. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. You may have knowledge of how they've done wrong and how they came up short, but if you always calling them on the carpet and calling them out, then you're not building them up. You're bringing them down. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
All right. And then how do we deal with it? Well, he said confess their sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. If we say we're not in our sin, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. In other words, we can't deny it. If you're in darkness, there's something gone awry. Because sin breaks fellowship and sin takes you out of darkness, out of light into darkness. Amen. So we have to confess it. How do you do that? And like I always say, you have your repenter close. I keep mine close. Because when things get complicated, confusing, and unclear, I need to get back in the light. So you got to confess, which means to acknowledge, admit, and agree with God. You don't argue with God. You got to agree with him. I missed it, Lord. I acknowledge you're right. I'm wrong. Let God be true and every man a liar. Because sometimes we deny it. That's why I said you will never experience this life and the benefits and the joy of Christ if you deny the power of sin. You deny the presence of sin. You deny the practice of sin. You're in denial, and that's a river in Egypt. Don't live in denial. So you got to get. So you must remember that there are two yous as we're closing. We'll pick it up here next time. The old man, which lives by default. Your flesh wants to sin and will sin. The old man. I'm not talking about your skin and bones. I'm talking about your old man. We acknowledge and admit, have to acknowledge and admit to God that the old man has gotten out of control. If you're lying, if you're cheating, if you're trying to get over and get by and run the same old game you did before Christ, the old man's gotten out of control. And so you have to acknowledge to God that your inability to produce the results or changes that need to occur in your life. I'm still cutting people up with my words. We were in a class at the YMCA, and the great, she hired, they do higher thought, and they quote scripture sometimes, a lot of times, and it was pleasant words. And I was kept thinking about those words in Proverbs. You know, there's words that speak like the piercing of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Amen. Pleasant word, sweet to the soul, like honey to the mouth, to the taste. So, you know, am my words pleasant? Amen. So you have to acknowledge that I hadn't been able to produce the changes. I'm still critical. I'm still judgmental. I'm still cutting people. I'm still castrating people. I'm still getting upset when people cut me off in traffic. I'm still getting infuriated and losing my temper when I had to pay bills and when we would talk about money. Woo-wee. Old man's gotten out of control. And then there's the new man which is lives by design in Christ. See, you have been given what? The prototype, the archetype in Christ. So Christ is perfect. That's the new man. That's the man that walks in the light and stays in connectivity with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father God. Somebody say glory to God. So let's look at these two men in scripture, last scripture, Ephesians 4, 22-24, that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man. Sometimes we have to put off the old man, which grows and corrupts. Grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. So he says, old man, new man. Everybody say, put off the old man. Put on the new man, which is created in according to God in righteousness, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, stand up with me, and I'm going to close with these thoughts. We'll probably read this other scripture in the sake of time. See, when the enemy identifies the weakness in your flesh, like Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he endeavors to make it a thorn in your flesh. Let's say your weakness is you overspend. You're a shopaholic, materialistic. Well, he's always going to make that a thorn to you. Maybe it's a food addiction. You can't put the food down. You don't put a knife over your throat like the proverb says. You can't stop. You binge eat. You're an emotional eater. Old man. Old man in control. Maybe you get real upset quick when you talk with your children and you lose your temper and you lose your cool. Old man. Becomes a thorn in your flesh because the devil will always use their kids to rile you up and get you out of control. Are you listening to me? Maybe it's your spouse. When you start talking about that sensitive issue like money, and they get funny and they get really fiery. Don't talk to me about bills. Don't talk about my money. Arr. Old man. Old man just came out of the grave. And so what he does is try to make that a weakness and a thorn to you. Maybe it's the lust problems. You can't swipe right and click off. When the pop-up comes, you linger, you look, and you lust. Come on now, y'all, don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good today. But the grace of God will enable you and will empower you. Amen. To do two things. It will change your physical circumstance. That's why we go to the throne of grace to find grace to help in time of need and to overcome every evil tendency. James 4, 6 said this way, he gives us more grace and grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. Whatever your struggle is, the devil, get his finger off of that from becoming a thorn in your flesh so that you can stay in the light. Are you listening to me today? Come on, lift your hands and begin to thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.